The 10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch
begins now. I want to get to Rich Bisaccia because that seems to be a hot-button issue for some Packers fans. But I want to put a bow on this conversation because I am a Matt LaFleur believer. I still think he's a good coach. I think he's going to spend this offseason figuring out a better way to take the good things that his quarterback does and the good things that his running back does and marry them up to be a more consistently productive offense in 2025. If that does not happen, we will be having this conversation next year that we just had about Sean McDermott, you think?
Yeah. I think if he, let's say Green Bay misses the playoffs, I think you're going to have serious conversations. I think if the same season plays out where you can't beat the big boys, you have a nice season, cute little season, but your offense isn't progressing, you're going to have a long, hard conversation, I believe.
The Packers' opponents for 2025. Looking at the schedule, their home games, and they have home and homes with their three division teams. Obviously, we have no idea what these teams are going to do in the offseason with free agency and the draft. There are plenty of teams that miss the playoffs one year and make it the next, so it doesn't really matter what these teams did this year. But the other teams on the schedule beyond the NFC North, the Eagles, the Commanders, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Panthers, the Cowboys, the Giants, the Browns, the Steelers, the Broncos, and the Arizona Cardinals. Those road games are the at Dallas, at the Giants, at Cleveland, at Pittsburgh, at Denver, at Arizona. So I don't think I would look at that and say, oh, it's going to be that much harder of a schedule than they face this year. But I do ask myself about this season when you look at the kind of year the NFC West had and the kind of year the AFC South had, how good they would have been had they been less fortunate with scheduling.
Yeah, I mean, there's you never know. Again, a big part of it is when you play them.
Sure.
Played the Rams without two of their best players. Yep. You know, there's always stuff that comes up, but until the Super Bowl and then or the big game, until the big game happens and then you look at what happens in free agency, draft, etc. Nobody really knows. I would think Green Bay will be a favorite in the NFC again. I think everyone looks at this team as an ascending team. And I don't know offensively where you're going to base that off of when you watch the last month of the season. Now, it's all gone. It's done. That's the beauty of this. It is a reset. And I believe in Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, and the offensive line. I think the receiving core is going to have to get a lot better. And if they do that, you're going to be a lot more multidimensional, and you're going to be able to be better on offense. Think the defense showcased itself, but they got to prove themselves. So, I mean, right now, if you look at it, you say Green Bay will be back in the playoffs. And then we see Washington made a run. Just get in the playoffs, position yourself, and try and find ways to be more disciplined and understand what it takes to win playoff games. You've been in there now, even though you're a young team. You've had 2 years of that. You know what it takes to win, and you know why you lose. It's just, can you go out and execute the best way to find a way to win? And that's the thing we have to see if this team is learning as next season gets started.
Jim in the Berg on the Carbless talking text line. Liss is more. I don't think Matt LaFleur is running into hot teams. I just don't think he can beat good teams. I think he gets the pucker factor in the big games, and that is represented in how his team plays. Tausch, agree or disagree?
I don't know if I'd go that far. What I will say, and I've said this pretty consistently, I do think he has to pick his spots better. And not everything is the end of the world. Players look to their coaches, just like we as airline passengers look at flight attendants.
If or drivers choppy, look to navigators.
Fine, you just kind of want that steadying influence. And now occasionally there's times, bust a clipboard, throw a iPad. Great. You want to be all irritated, that's fine. Don't be rash. Try and kind of have things. You want your team to play with composure. And you want your team to be able to handle adversity. You have to do that too. And it's not that I think Matt LaFleur is a hothead or anything like that. And it's not the easiest balance to find. I'm well aware of that. But he definitely needs to start skewing the other way a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
As he's becoming more of a veteran coach and his team is getting more veteran, I think he needs that part. I don't think it's a pucker factor, as old boy just said. I think it's more of a consistency. Be consistent with what you're doing. Don't ride the wave. Not every call and not everything is the end of the world. Bad call, go back to your play sheet and overcome it. And you do that, you're going to be in a lot better case than firing stuff and being all, you know, pouty. It just isn't, it's not what you're looking for.
Maybe, you know, take a beat, have a meal, or perhaps have yourself a Coors Light and chill.
Chill would be good in certain circumstances, and when I'm chilling, it's Coors Light in my hand, brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it is made to chill, born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. Coors Light is refreshing, it is crisp, and is only 102 calories. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Sub responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We'll get to Rich Bisaccia. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. Go past my
shoulder one last day. All right, the YouTube chats, as we often see from the, as Jesse likes to call them, dwellers. Are having their own show.
What are they talking about?
They're talking about Rich Bisaccia, which I agree with them. We should be discussing. He is back. He was going into the final year of his contract. He, as Tom Silverstein of the Journal Sentinel first reported, signed an extension, so another year, so he's not a lame duck coordinator and assistant head coach. But there is some... I would say vitriol.
Well, just wait, did they announce this? I thought don't announce coaching.
They didn't. No, they did not. They still haven't announced that they signed Charles Woodson either, though, so.
What's Charles Woodson? Is he coaching safeties, or what did they sign him?
No, they still haven't announced that they signed him in free agency when you were his teammate. They never announced that.
Funny.
So, and it's true, they never did. It was never formally announced. We still joke about that to this day. The Rich Bisaccia contract will not be announced because he's just staying on. The Luke Getsy joining the staff as a senior offensive assistant, that's apparently his title, that will be announced when they have their full staff reconstituted. They have a new quarterbacks coach to hire, perhaps Dan Orlovsky. They have a defensive line coach to hire, which they have not done yet. So those announcements will be pending once the entire staff is set. Until that time, we do know, as Tom does a really good job, and sources have confirmed his reporting, that Rich Bisaccia is back. He seems to generate diverse opinions. Well, maybe they're not that diverse. Maybe there's a lot of people that think he stinks and is overpaid. Where do you land on this?
I don't think he's had the impact we all hoped he would.
I think that's fair.
And then I also find out that he is in charge of, and correct me if I'm wrong, game clock management. He's there to help
So he advises Matt LaFleur. If you watch the games, you see him. He's always right in Matt LaFleur's hip pocket. They're always next to each other on the sideline. And you see Matt LaFleur consulting with him somewhat regularly. Sure. He is the assistant head coach. So that would track.
Has he done a good job?
I mean, first of all,
that's a yes or no question.
Well,
in fairness,
he's done a mid job. Because is it his? Is because I always thought that the Anders Carlson experience was because of him, right? I mean, he had history with his brother, etc. So the fact that he did not push for Anders to get a second season made me curious as to if he was actually ready to give up on Anders earlier than other people were.
Does Anders Carlson get drafted if Rich Bisaccia is not the special teams coach?
No. I mean, Goody has drafted now. Well, just wait. Don't do...
Why are you always trying to stir stuff up, Jason?
I literally ask two yes or no questions, and I get that there's nuance with everything, but it's a pretty simple question, yes or no. He has a relationship with his brother. I'm guaranteeing you one thing, and this is what irritates me. Bill Polian, 20 years later, is like, oh, yeah, Tom Brady drafted in the first round. No, you didn't. And if Anders Carlson was the next Ray Wershing, I'm assuring you, old boy would be saying, yeah, I drafted him. It was me. So did he or did he not? Like, was he on the table advocating? Because using a sixth-round pick is a big deal on a kicker. I would not draft a kicker again. I wouldn't. I have come to your side of it. Let these guys go and learn somewhere else. Did Rich Bisaccia order the code Anders? Did he?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know, guys.
Because Goody also spent a seventh-round pick on a long snapper and spent a fifth-round pick on a punter who he gave up on, both of whom he gave up on. So it would appear that track record-wise, Goody is willing to, in my opinion, squander valuable draft picks on specialists. So maybe he takes Anders Carlson anyway. But do I think Rich Bisaccia influenced the... Let's say Goody was ready to pick a kicker. Do I think Rich Bisaccia influenced which kicker he picked? I do.
Okay. That wasn't that hard.
Had I
was
not
that hard?
Gotten, for those of you watching on the video stream, had I not gotten this, I would have said that.
I was frustrated that you didn't answer, and I didn't, for the record, didn't interrupt you, which is always a complaint people in the YouTube have. You no interruption.
Starting to understand what it's like riding in a car with Tausch.
Okay, I'll just sit here and be a wallflower. That'd be a hell of a
no,
show.
No, you're definitely
wallflower
not.
And Wildy. Oh, a hell of a show you guys got there.
Be fewer interruptions.
The bottom line, and this is, and Jason, it's just something that is always irritating. These scouts and everybody... And we used to bust old boys' chops all the time about Jamal Reynolds. Oh, that was your pick, huh? Yeah. Okay. You're going to get some wrong.
Yeah.
Own it.
Right.
So, Rich, if you did it, own it. But then don't, oh, well, he didn't really advocate for him. Coaches aren't dumb. Coaches want to win. And if you help them win, they're going to be on your side if they don't, they get rid of you. This isn't tiddlywinks. Like, you're not good, they cut you. They move on. I don't care if you're the nicest kid on the block. If you can't block somebody or you can't make a kick, you're gone. And then they'll say, well, Goody really wanted him. Or, I don't know, I mean, we had a collaboration. But I promise you this, and you see this at Packer Hall of Fame inductions all the time. If Sammy Seal found you, they're going to give Sammy Seal love. Sean Herrick. My guy. Shawnee Herrick's my guy. Okay? Guys believe in you. They want you to succeed because they're your guy. You understand what I'm saying?
I very much understand what you're saying.
He's not your guy. Just admit, hey, I like the kid. I had a good relationship with the family. Ba, 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 ba. Just own it. It happens. Nobody bats 1,000. Tony Gwynn didn't bat 1,000.
He did not, but he rarely struck out. So how many times in the history of the National Football League have you heard people say, yeah, I blew that pick? Other than Ron Wolf on the sideline. Exactly. He proves the point, right? I mean, the fact that he did that was incredible. Well, I guess I effed up that pick. Now, in fairness, we all could see it from the instant that Joey Jameson, drafted to be a punt returner, could not catch punts.
That makes it tough. That makes it tough.
But how many times do you remember hearing Ted or Goody?
Kind of irritating. Ron didn't draft me in the fifth round and Jameson in the seventh, but that's another.
Some might say, exactly. But, it made you the person you are today. But that's my point also about squandering picks on specialists. You, Donald Driver, Carrington Valentine.
Jason,
those are valuable
picks. I am on
your side.
You have swayed me. And that's why when Hunter said, oh, Tausch in the car ride, I am not some immalleable buffoon. I have strong opinions. But if someone brings me really good information and points of view, I am not closed off to listening. I hereby declare that the Green Bay Packers should not draft a punter, kicker, or long snapper ever again. I think
great.
It's a smart move.
Oh, snap.
Welcome to my team.
It's the right, because especially if you're in a mode of winning championships, I don't know of any team that's excited about starting a rookie kicker, because the bottom line is it ratchets up the pressure on that kid exponentially if you draft him. If he's an undrafted free agent, it's like Ryan Longwell versus Sean Conway. That was a...
Brett Conway.
What's wrong with that? Brett Conway. You don't need to add more. Kicking in the NFL is a hard job, as it is. Pressure-packed. You add more layers of pressure, it doesn't help. So I am now on your team. And my point on the Rich Bisaccia thing is, has he improved this group? The answer is no. The special teams is not in a better spot than it was. It's not. Look at the DVOA or whatever that little reporting deal is. They're not better. And you're paying top dollar. You expect top dollar performance.
Yeah.
I don't fully understand the obsession, and you like Rich Bisaccia, right? Like, you guys
get
a little banter.
We get along
and everything
great.
Else.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm not seeing it. Tell me where I'm wrong.
So their coverage units, until they gave up the punt return against
Chicago. Titanic was a hell of a ship till it hit an iceberg. Like, what are we doing?
Until it wasn't.
Boy, they were great until Keyshawn Nixon fumbled away the opening kickoff in a playoff game. Okay. Well, the kicking was great until he missed a playoff kick. Okay. Come on.
All right. So, and to your point, we fault Rich Bisaccia for all three of those things you just said. Definitely
it's his unit.
Definitely
it's
the punt return. The punt return.
Here's the deal, Jason.
Bad coaching.
I'm not blaming Rich for missing a kick. But when you take on the assistant head coach responsibility, coaches know what they sign up for. You're judged on your units. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Right. That's
well,
how
that's
Jason
not Rich's
Reprovich
fault
got
that
fired.
They only had 10 guys on the field. That's not Rich's fault that so-and-so had a block. Get him off the – you're accountable for your units. Like, that's what you're doing.
I agree.
Was it Matt LaFleur's fault that somebody dropped the pass? No. But maybe it's Matt LaFleur's fault that he's still out there. Like, there are – that's the world we live in. It's a hard gig. Your accountability is there. It's one of the most accountable jobs in the world. You have millions of people that care. So, yes, it sucks. It's not fair, by the way. It ain't fair. But that's how you're judged.
Mm-hmm. You're right. My point was that up until they
for that
gave
one time, I mean, other net game when
they went 16 games with a good punt coverage unit and a good kickoff coverage unit. They did.
What was the stats I sent you guys yesterday? What was that, Hunter?
I don't know. I'll look for those, and we'll talk about them next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Let's put a bow on Rich Bisaccia here. Rick Gosselin has not yet put out the rankings, but in his first year, Rich Bisaccia took the special teams units from 32nd to 22nd.
That's
last year, 29th.
12th. Oh, so they regressed seven spots.
This year, not yet reported, but I'm guessing it's going to be in that same area. Start the season with a rookie kicker who's missing a bunch of kicks. Don't have any impact on your kickoff or your punt return units. As good as we all think Daniel Whelan might be, he finished 26th in net punting.
Woof. He wasn't as good as everybody kind of said he was.
Yeah. All right. Finished 26th. In net punting. Didn't help to give up that 94-yard punt return for a touchdown on the trick play. That was not helpful. It was average. So I'm guessing even though Brandon McManus came in and solved the kicking problem, the fact that they got very little to nothing out of their return game, their punter was good early.
Well, they're
not
finding
so great.
A new returner, right? Keyshawn retired from kick returns.
He has. Like, right? He did make that announcement. Yes,
I like that. Bold. It's a bold move. The bottom line is, I think Rich Bisaccia, if he's your coach, you're not mad. But if you're paying top dollar, and I'm sure his extension, he's still going to probably be the highest or one of the highest paid coordinators, right?
Well, he does the game management stuff too, obviously.
I don't know if you're that excited about that. I just don't know. Like, I think he's been a head coach. There's a lot of stuff that you can lean on, but I don't think your group has gotten better.
Yeah, their kickoff coverage was good. Brandon McManus didn't have a lot of touchbacks. They were second in the league in starting field position for their opponents. So their coverage unit did a good job. But yeah.
Good.
And again, you can't remove the Braden Narveson, the Narv dog period, but that will drag your grade down. He missed a ton of kicks.
That was Goody's fault. No, listen, that was Goody's fault. And in Goody's defense, he fixed it quickly.
Yeah. They finished 18th in field goal percentage, but if you take out Narveson, they finished second. So, again, that all counts. It all counts, but we just agreed that that was on Goody. So he deserves criticism.
It was on Goody, except for, old boy wanted Anders Carlson. I mean, that's the thing. You can mumble this thing around as much as you want, CYA, everybody. The bottom line is whoever's kicking is Goody's responsibility.
Yeah, and the punt return was bad. That was bad, and Rich Bisaccia owns that. That is his fault for not preparing those guys for that play. All right, we will move on from Rich Bisaccia. We got plenty more to get to, and we still have another segment left in the 10 o'clock hour, which we will do next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Madison's home for Milwaukee Bucks basketball.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's Dame time.
Madison's home of Dame time is 100.5 ESPN.
We'll kick off the 11 o'clock hour in a couple minutes. Hunter just sent me a really interesting read from the Packers Wire. And Tausch, I want you to think about this while I tell everyone about Bucks Plus. Who are the players that, in your mind, regressed during the 2024 Packers season? Give that some thought, because Zach Cruz has compiled. Now, this is based on PFF grades, which we both agree are not the end-all, be-all measure of how a player performed, but there's value in them. And taken with some context, I think they can be useful. So give that some thought. What you should be giving some thought to, especially with Gabe calling some of the Bucks games right now, with Dave Kane having slid over to the TV spot, you want to make sure that you're checking out Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus audio network. From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room afterwards, get an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in just 6 minutes. No more, no less. Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus audio network. If you missed any of the game or you just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in 6 provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the deep threes from Dame. They both scored 35 points apiece last night. And catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus audio network. Find it now on bucks.com/plus or on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.